In a world where gratitude and respect come slowly for the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, comes the greatest hockey anti-hero in French Canada. Max Pacioretty is the unheralded one.
It's now the long pass, and it's Pacioretty in alone. Pacioretty makes Montreal Canadiens history! The overtime winner!
Max Pacioretty has just set a franchise record with his 10th overtime winning goal.
Overtime goals, schmovertime goals. Come on, what have you done for us lately, Mr. Empty Net Goal Guy?
His tireless commitment to excellence is only matched by the insecurity festering deep in his soul.
Look at you with the shoveling and the pushing of the snow and the de-icing and the salting. Hurry up already. I gotta go play World of Warcraft.
You know he's there for you, but you just can't feel it in your heart.
Oh my goodness, there's a cat trapped in that burning building. Please, someone help!
My cat, oh my god, he's alive. Thank you so much. He's missing fur. He's a little burned here and there. He looks ugly now. You take him, Max.
You won't want to miss the most exciting movie this winter. Steven Spielberg calls it a film that holds complacency and taking someone for granted to a whole new level.
I have Max Pacioretty's kidney in my body now. Max, you donated your kidney to me. But you know what? I still have heart disease, so thanks for nothing.
Max Pacioretty, the unheralded one, coming soon to fan-sided Netflix and HBO.
Not to be confused with Bob Gainey, Saka Koivu, or PK Subban.
Isn't it funny how all these years we used to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs handling their captains, their fans, the way they treat them, how horrible it is to be captain of the Leafs. And all this time I'm thinking to myself, what's going on with Max Pacioretty? He's such a good guy, such a good scorer. Poor kid.
Yeah, he is one of the top five rated goal scorers in the past five or six seasons in the NHL, which is huge. And it's just a skill that is so needed for the Montreal Canadiens, considering they're a goal-starved franchise, and he's one of the first names that's always mentioned as trade bait.
I don't know. I feel for him. I feel for him because unlike some of the captains we've had around these parts in Toronto, I think he's been amazing. I really do. He's much maligned.
Well,
sad.
It's funny, but I think the parallels could be drawn with a certain number 13, Matt Sundin, in the fact that you could always say with regards to Matt's that he could always give a little bit more. Versus, say, like a Doug Gilmour who gave it 110%, if that's mathematically possible. And I think the same thing is kind of said in Montreal about Max Pacioretty, that, you know, Max could, you know, he could always got another gear left. He could always maybe give it a little bit more. And I think that's what frustrates the fans in watching Max is that they know he's ultra-talented. They know he can score 30 goals year in, year out. But it's just that little extra that they know that he is capable of. And I think that's what fans are wanting.
Well, and the parallel is very accurate with Sundin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he was always, if you recall, beaten up in the media for not reaching that extra gear. And fans knew it. Don't fool yourself. I knew it. All the years that I watched him under Quinn and under all the hodgepodge of coaches that before and after. Matt Sundin was someone that was just like Max Pacioretty. Reliable, always there, always helping the team the best he can, but at the end of the day, the favorite whipping boy when they lose. And that's what happens when you lose a lot to start a season, isn't it? Someone's got to get beaten up. Who gets beaten up on the Leafs when they go into a tailspin? Mike Babcock, the untouchable one. Who gets smashed in Montreal? Max Pacioretty, the unheralded one.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been critical of Max in the past, and I do appreciate what he brings to the table, but I do agree that he can give a little bit more, and especially when it comes to the playoffs, that Max can give a little bit more. His playoff numbers aren't as good as his regular season numbers, and I think Max also suffers still, to this day, from there's the PK Subban camp versus the Max Pacioretty camp. And I still think that lingers today, where people are essentially under the assumption that it was Max was one of the key factors in driving PK away to Nashville, even though that's not necessarily true. But I still think he suffers from that.
It's way too much drama, I think you'll agree. Way too much drama for a franchise to have to put up with that has earned their right to be respected across the league. I think it cheapens the Habs brand a little bit when people kind of scoff at all of these misadventures they're having while the Leafs quietly roll around with their young players, can do no wrong. And you know, it's funny you brought up Sundin, because one of my frustrations with him was whenever he'd be out of the lineup, all the Leafs would step it up and play well. And that's exactly what the modern-day team did with the absence of Matthews. You can't tell me for a second you thought they were going to win back-to-back games against Boston, with the second one being on the road.
No, it was quite an accomplishment, and maybe kind of a... Is it essentially a turning point for the franchise where the Leafs were, for several years, and especially those 2013 playoffs, the joke, the whipping boy of the Boston Bruins, and then to win back-to-back games against the Bruins in decidedly easy fashion?
I think.
It's kind of showing that the tables have turned, that, you know what, Boston, you're not the same Bruins that your granddaddy used to watch. These are the new Toronto Maple Leafs, and Toronto will soon now be making the Boston Bruins their whipping boy.
Well, who would have thunk it this quickly, this soon? It's almost like a gift from my perspective.
Did you just say thunk?
I said thunk.
I think thunk is a word, apparently. It frustrates me, but apparently I think I looked it up once, and I think it might be a word.
We like stretching the boundaries of vocabulary and the lexicon of hockey. Mm-hmm. Speaking of stretching the boundaries, this is my stratagem. My stratagem for this show is to not have one, not two, but three interviews on this episode. Three guests, including the great Jamie Thomas, who's doing great stuff on Winnipeg Jets TV. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Jamie's doing a wonderful job out there, and he's really, really good to watch. Having him combined with a great team to watch, they're really... To use a word that's the theme of the night, it seems, unheralded. The Winnipeg Jets are a very unheralded team in Canada. They're kind of lost, you know, being in a different time zone from us, and then especially, you know, with the Montreal and Toronto focus, and then out west you've got Connor McDavid dominating things, and of course, as Jamie mentions, is they've got a huge fan base out in Vancouver, so they're kind of lost in the mix of things. But people should really pay attention to the Winnipeg Jets, because they're a really, really fun team to watch. Not only is Patrick Laine a great player to watch, but one of my favorite players to watch in the league is Blake Wheeler as well. So lots of good hockey out there, and they're really turning things around with the good goaltending that they're getting.
And you got to admit, tonight is pretty amazing. I mean, it's very, very cool to think that we've got the 2017 Hockey Hall of Fame class going in, and we ran a poll, and I can't believe this, but it's Kariya versus Solani for the most popular inductee.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that Kariya and Solani are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame the same year, as they were really good friends back in their Anaheim days. They were also free agents at the same time, and both of them agreed to go to the Colorado Avalanche. So really good friends going in at the same time is kind of poetic. And in our poll, they're kind of neck and neck in terms of who the favorite player is. And I did vote for Paul Kariya, as I really like him as a player. I loved him as a player, in fact. And
what's there not to like? I mean, you're talking about one of the most graceful, finesse, skilled pound-for-pound players you'll ever find in hockey history. And if not for the fact that he was repeatedly destroyed by thuggish defensemen like Scott Stevens, he could have played a lot longer and probably had numbers that would have blown our minds. Would you agree at one point he was the best player in hockey?
Ooh, that's a tough one to say, because there were many great players in that era. That was the Sakic Forsberg era. Mario was still the player he was. Well, he was not as good in the late 90s, just because of injuries and what took their toll. Of course, Jágr was being Jágr. There was a lot of good players during that era. So to say he was the best player, I don't know. What I really appreciated about Paul Kariya was that when he was drafted, he was more kind of said to be more of a setup player. But he really had his game evolve, worked on his game, and worked on his shot, and had one of the best wrist shots in the game, and also one of the best slap shots in close. He turned into a very good goal scorer, in addition to being a good setup man. With Paul Kariya, you can contrast that to Dave Vanderchuk. Paul Kariya, graceful skater, speedy skater, skill, could really move the puck, you know, versus Dave Andrechuk, where I think the average of his 650 goals or however many he scored, the longest goal he scored was probably 2.4 feet.
Just call a spade. He was a giant lump of potatoes. I don't even know how to describe him. He couldn't skate. He lumbered into the zone and parked his body in front of the net and was rewarded with over, 600 goals from, like you said, a small radius.
But it's so hard to say that. I mean, 600 goals in the NHL. That's a great accomplishment.
That's an accomplishment. But, you want to talk about unheralded ones? Could you not make a case that the most unheralded inductee tonight is going to be Mark Recchi? I mean, this guy has done some pretty amazing things in the NHL, but he's nowhere near the top of anyone's lips when you talk about best wingers in the game.
Yeah.
He should be.
It's funny that, and wow, talk about ironies of ironies. Dr. Mark Recchi, and yes, Habs fans do call him Dr. Mark Recchi, because he is the one who doubted the injuries that Max Pacioretty sustained at the hands of Zdeno Chara way back when he was smashed into the stanchion. It was Dr. Mark Recchi who was like, I wonder if he does have a broken neck or a concussion or something like that. And ever since then, Recchi has not actually been a big fan favorite in the Montreal circles.
So the Maple Leafs have earned a richly deserved series of days off, considering the adversity they just faced and how well they passed with flying colors. Let's face it, when Austin Matthews was rendered inoperable for the lineup, unavailable for the last four games, most of Leafs Nation began kind of this usual doom and gloom routine that we've come to expect and have quite frankly grown tired of, because this is a team that's being heralded for exceptional amounts of talent. And when you're usually hyped up like that, at a minimum you should be saying to yourself, we can overcome when we lose the best player on our team. And that, of course, isn't the argument whether he's the best, but whether he's the most complete. If anything, you got a glimpse of it in the last back-to-back series against Boston. Mitch Marner really stepped up and is starting to show the fans of this team that there's really more than meets the eye if given the opportunity. And therein lies the concern. The Leafs, who are now 4-0 going in to face the New Jersey Devils on Thursday night for what I like to call the revenge rematch, will have to dig down deep to once again show their fans they can deal with some real, real adversity. The Devils, of course, made a mockery of their first battle with the Maple Leafs. Maybe it's time for the Leafs to show that when these types of occurrences happen, that they've got long memories and short thunder.
The Montreal Canadiens are 7-3-0 in their last 10 games. A very respectable stretch, especially since their terrible, terrible start that they had. Now, a lot of people, though, are saying that Montreal is only beating teams that they can beat, and this 7-3-0 stretch hasn't been as impressive. They're beating the Vegas Golden Knights of the world, the Buffalo Sabres of the world, the Florida Panthers of the world. Now, Montreal this week has a schedule that shows them playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Arizona Coyotes, and of course the Toronto Maple Leafs. If there is a game this week that Montreal can lose, it can be against the Arizona Coyotes. Why? Montreal needs to show that they can beat the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Toronto Maple Leafs. They need to show that they can beat tough, good teams. They need to show that they can beat a division rival. So, if Montreal loses to Arizona, that'll actually be okay. Just so long as they beat the Columbus Blue Jackets, a very, very tough team, and as long, come Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, they can beat the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So, Kamal, it's really funny. If you think about it, when we're not talking about the Habs or the Leafs, we spend an awful lot of time talking about the Winnipeg Jets, don't we?
We certainly do. And we've got one of our great friends of the show to join us today.
Absolutely. He is someone that we used to watch when he was the national sports anchor on Rogers Sportsnet. And also was the radio show host on TSN, which is very cool. And today he's the host and insider at Winnipeg Jets TV. Jimmy Thomas is on Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much for having me, guys. Sorry I can't take part of your Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan thing, but I'll be more than happy to chip in with the Jets part for sure.
Well, that's why we're thrilled to have you here, because one of the things that Kamal and I love to talk about is Austin Matthews, not surprisingly. He really dominates the airwaves here in Toronto. But what we're curious about is how is our
how is the number two draft pick last year doing? I mean, Patrick Laine, what should our listeners know about him, Jamie, that maybe isn't being covered in mainstream media?
Well, I don't know if it's been well documented or not, but Laine added some weight. But, he worked out a lot more this summer, spent less time on the ice. That was probably why he spent, got us a little bit of a slow start to the year, adjusting to the new weight that's on his body. Of course, he's only 19 years old, so, of course, like Austin Matthews, are still growing a little bit as well, but a much bigger individual. But about four games or five games ago, he had ripped himself before a game saying he was not playing very well, and it was very interesting timing because that night he went out and scored, and now he scored in four straight games, had an empty net goal last night against the Arizona Coyotes. So he's up to 9 goals now on the season, and it just seems like he's getting better and better as time goes by here. And this is the limit for this guy. He plays on the line with Brian Little and, of course, his good friend Nikolai Ehlers as well. So, of course, next year is the big year, or maybe this off season we will find out what kind of money Patrick Laine is going to be making in his second contract. But for the time being, he's scoring goals, and that's what he loves to do.
Yeah, it's funny that you talk about Laine and somewhat being a little bit off to a slow start. In my hockey pool, I was debating between picking. I had the next pick, and I was debating between Laine and Kucherov, and I'm lamenting picking Laine, even though he's on pace for like 40 goals. Jamie, the Jets were in Vegas on Friday night, and did they inadvertently send a message to the rest of the NHL by flying into Vegas on a Monday night for a Friday night game and subsequently laying an egg in that game?
I think it would be easy if that was the best explanation for it, guys. But, they played a great game in Dallas on the Monday, flew into Vegas on that very same night. Then, of course, Tuesday they had the day off to do whatever it is you're going to do in Vegas, and then they had practices on Wednesday and Thursday, and, of course, the game on Friday. It would be so simple just to blame it on the fact that they had so much time there, but I think I heard it from Ray Ferraro of TSN, and he said it best. You know, if guys want to get into trouble, they can get in trouble any city in the National Hockey League. They're professionals. They had played very well. I just think we're not giving enough credit to the Golden Knights. And Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Jets, said before, this is not your everyday average expansion team. They're on you consistently, and if you watch that game from start to finish, they forced the Jets into a lot of mistakes. And what Winnipeg has done this year in the games, they haven't played very well. They haven't skated that well. I know that sounds like a simple explanation, but that was clearly the case in that game against Golden Knights on Friday night. And Vegas has got a great goaltending performance from Legacy, who they hadn't got that great of efforts from in his previous NHL start. So there's a lot of things working against the Jets that night. But I think what we should do is continue to give Vegas a lot of credit. They've been a pleasant surprise this year. Maybe not so much on the road, but they certainly are using that home ice advantage to great efforts so far this year.
That's interesting, especially considering, Jamie, when Kamal and I watched them take on both the Habs and Leafs in the same week, it's obvious that that team's got something special about it, doesn't it, in terms of being an expansion team?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, a really hard-working team, and I know we always hear that from expansion teams coming in, but they've got the guys that can finish around the net, and they've got some pretty good blue liners as well. So I think it's, anytime you're paying $500 million for something, you should get a return on your investment. And that's clearly the case so far this year for Mr. Foley's Golden Knights in its first year in the NHL.
Now, I've enjoyed watching you over the years, Jamie, covering the Toronto Bay.
Appreciate
teams.
That.
You were a mainstay for many years and became really synonymous with quality journalism. I'm wondering, in terms of quality journalism, what's the biggest difference in the way that you perceive how the Winnipeg media treats the Jets versus the way, let's say, the Toronto media went after or treats the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I think you guys you remember clearly that first year Mike Babcock was in Toronto, and I think it was more or less a giveaway season. You know, the media backed off a little bit in terms of pressure. The fans certainly were disinterested in some aspects too, and then when things started going well, the pressure started ramping up a lot. One thing I've noticed here is that the lack of playoff success has really made each loss a lot more than it really should be. I clearly remember the first night, opening night against the Maple Leafs, the Jets did not play well, and questions were asked, like, what do you say to the fans? I heard that one directed at a member of the Jets, and I found that interesting because usually that question is what you would ask a player or coach after a season was over and you had not met expectations, not an opening night. So to me, I learned right there, the pressure is on to get in to the playoffs for the Winnipeg Jets this year, and fans have clearly, you know, are lacking patience for another year of building. But it's clear that Kevin Cheveldayoff and Paul Maurice have the team to make some noise in the Western Conference, and it's apparent so far this year. But I will say this, the biggest difference so far is there's way more pressure on the Winnipeg Jets than there is in the Toronto Maple Leafs, even though the Leafs almost got through to the second round last year in the playoffs.
As we approach the quarter mark of the NHL season, Jamie, and the plethora of talented young forwards that the Winnipeg Jets have, could it be argued, though, that the team MVP at this moment is Connor Hellebuyck?
I would like to say that. I mean, I don't think there really is an argument, because the games for the Jets have not played well. Hellebuyck has bailed him out now. He had his only less than stellar performance, I would have to say, in that game against the Golden Knights. And it was pointed out by Paul Maurice that he wasn't on like he had been in previous efforts. Now, Steve Mason was excellent in Glendale last night and had been very good, stopping 35 or 37 shots in his previous start on the road in Columbus. So Hellebuyck has been the key. Right behind him, though, is Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele, who have been excellent for the Jets this year. And when they're not going, it looks like the offense kind of takes a step back. And you could say that about any team in the NHL when their top line isn't driving the pace of a hockey game, that their efforts aren't that well going that well either. But clearly, so far, Connor Hellebuyck has been a pleasant surprise, even though, you know, many people thought Steve Mason, well, it was. Steve Mason was the number one goaltender coming into camp. When you come in a year, $8.2 million deal, that's what your role is. But what it has done is Connor Hellebuyck didn't pout. He worked hard in the offseason at bettering himself. And at 24 years old, I think there's a lot of good things to come for Connor Hellebuyck this year and going for the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, Jamie, Kamal and I really appreciate you stopping by to speak with us. We certainly look forward to the prospect of bringing you back on one of our roundtable discussions. Why don't you tell our listeners about where they can find you on social media, and maybe if you have any special projects or certain things that you're working on that you want to promote?
For sure. You can find me on Twitter at JamieThomasTV. And this upcoming Tuesday, we have the only pre- and post-game shows in the National Hockey League on our website. Going for our home games this year, and it's a really special effort coming up on Tuesday. Dale Hawerchuk is having his number raised at Bell MTS Place, and is going to the Winnipeg Jets Hall of Fame, and we will have him on the show, and then also have a special sequence where former members of the Jets will be receiving their Winnipeg Jets Hall of Fame jackets. So you can see that on YouTube and Facebook Live, as well as WinnipegJets.com.
You've been listening to Jamie Thomas from Winnipeg Jets TV here on Habs Fan vs. Leafs Fan. Thank you for stopping by with us, and be sure to check him out and some of his great blistering football tweets at Jamie Thomas TV. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
So, you know, Kamal, I've been waiting to have this next guest on our show join us for quite some time, and we're here right now. I am, of course, talking about our newest affiliate, the site expert at Puck Pros, Dave Stevenson. Baltimore Dave is on the show. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Dave.
Doing well. Doing well. Glad to have you on the show. You know, we both really want to know the origins of Puck Pros and why we should consider our affiliation now something like, you know, McCartney, Lennon, Laurel and Hardy, or maybe Habs Fan and Max Pacioretty. Tell us about Puck Pros.
Well, Puck Pros is a general NHL site. I took over for it in June. FanSite has blogs for virtually every team and every sport. And for sports, they tend to have like a more general sports site, and that's what I run. And I know you guys have a great like Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan, McCartney and Lennon thing. I think I can be a good comparison.
Wow, that's ambitious. I like it.
Yeah, as long as it's not Ringo Starr, then we're good. Dave, I just wanted to ask you, a team not named the Las Vegas Knights, what do you see as being the biggest surprise team in the NHL so far this young NHL season?
I'll give you two. Positively, I think the Devils has certainly been a huge surprise. I thought we would be better this year, but I certainly didn't see them being deemed that team the best team in the Metropolitan Division. They seem to really be using their speed and skill to their advantage, and they're definitely losing some guys to injury.
Yeah, I think even the New Jersey Devil fans are surprised that their team is known for speed now, speed and skill.
Oh, man, who thought that?
Dave, you wrote about the Montreal Canadiens recently. You had an article out, and I'm wondering, has your opinion of their season changed in any way, or has it pretty much stayed the same since the beginning?
I think it has changed. At the beginning of the year, I was questioning why they weren't getting goals because everything else in their underlying numbers, like their possession numbers, shots on goal, they were all looking very good. They just couldn't buy a goal. But I think now they're really starting to show a lot more of what we thought they would be, a sort of quasi-contender where they're back into playoff position and they're starting to score again. And maybe if you get Carey Price or whoever the goaltender is hot at the right time, you might be able to make a nice playoff run.
Take a moment, if you could, for our listeners to appreciate some of the great writers and contributors you have at Puck Pros. Maybe what kind of projects have you got on the horizon in terms of articles that are coming out, and where can our listeners find you on social media?
Well, we constantly have updates about like every team coming out daily. I'm coming out with my infamous every NHL team as a Thanksgiving food article for Thanksgiving, which will be a must-read.
That's great. Baltimore Dave
nice.
From Pros on Habs fan versus Leafs fan. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Before we called you, Kamal and I were debating exactly what this segment would be, because we kind of look at you the way Tim and Sid now looks at their drop-in guests, you know, whether it's Faisal or Donovan.
Yeah.
He asked me who I would compare you to, and at one point I was going to say Starscream. Like, there's like an amazing dynamic.
For Transformers?
You know, for Transformers, exactly, right? Some people don't know the Tim and Sid obscure references. You're our Starscream. What did you think of the Maple Leafs being able to win without the greatest player in franchise history already?
Oh, so good. Like, I tweeted after the first win on Friday how it was kind of funny how, you know, Boston was winning and then the Leafs tied it in the final minutes of the game and then won in overtime. And I was like, how does that feel? And then obviously I had a bunch of people be like, oh, you know, it's a regular season game. It's different. And I'm like, yeah, I know that, but just let me enjoy it. Let me enjoy it. And then, you know, and then honestly, Kamal, I think Mitch Marner heard what you had to say about the whole blue and white disease, because has he been on fire?
I know. I noticed that too. I'm like, damn it. I wish it was going to last longer so I can look smarter.
I know. I feel like we're going to have to do a little hashtag Kamal Jinx.
Yes, yes.
Literally anytime.
Then he can write his own Marner scores. He'll be Mr. Yeah. Propaganda. He can, you know, cover up his tracks.
Yeah, pretty much. I meant for that to happen.
yeah.
Well, you know how it is. Both teams have gone through ups and downs early on. I mean, Montreal is showing signs that they've got fight in them. You know, Pacioretty and company. It's funny. You look at our most recent sketch, which we know you're a big admirer of, and we were inspired by the fact things change so quickly, don't they, man? I mean, they change so quickly, and you end up blustering a lot because the NHL season needs to be played out. You can't give up on teams in October.
You want to talk about change. Like, not even the Habs and the Leafs. Look at the Rangers. They won six games in a row, and they're tied for the final wildcard spot, right? So, yeah, to what you say, you know, it's easy to panic and stuff, you know, when things aren't going wrong, right? But if you look at, like, the end of the standings, like, old teams are separated by, like, one or two points. So you go on, like, a five-game tear, like, you're in, right? So, like, I don't think any team right now has, like, officially – like pulled ahead, you know. Maybe I guess you can say Tampa's kind of treading down that line, and maybe the Leafs, but there's no like clear cut like holy crap, this team's gonna win like the league or the East or the West or whatever, right? So yeah, I think maybe in a couple months from now everything will be different, but for now it's, you know, playoff spots are still right for the picking.
Like even LA at the beginning, you know, they look like world beaters. And then, I mean, they're still doing very well, but I mean, I think they've lost a couple times in the past week or so. So
yeah, Vegas too. I doubt they stay there. They're gonna go for a cliff dive soon. And, you know, not everyone could be Arizona.
I feel
home.
So bad.